Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. On today's program, Jonathan and I bring you two reports. One is about a rare medical procedure. The other is about flower sales during the Lunar New Year. Later, Armin Kasabian answers a question from a learner. We close our show with an American story. This week, it is The Lady or the Tiger. But first, a rare face and hands transplant changed Joe DiMeo's life 6 months ago. A transplant is a medical operation in which an organ or body part is removed from one person and attached to another person. DiMeo is 22 years old and comes from the state of New Jersey. He had the operation last August. He received the new face and hands 2 years after being badly burned in a car crash. Today, he is relearning how to do simple movements. He works on smiling and opening and closing his eyes. With his new hands, he is relearning actions like squeezing and pinching. I knew it would be baby steps all the way, DiMeo told the Associated Press. You've got to have a lot of motivation, a lot of patience, and you've got to stay strong through everything. Experts say the operation appears to be a success, but they warn it will take some time to know for sure. Doctors at New York University's Medical Center, NYU Langone Health, performed the surgery. Worldwide, surgeons have completed at least 18 face transplants and 35 hand transplants. Those numbers come from the United Network for Organ Sharing, which oversees the U.S. transplant system. But it is extremely rare to get a face and double hand transplant at the same time. The operation had only been tried 2 times before. The first attempt was in 2009 on a patient in Paris, France. That patient died 1 month later from problems related to the surgery. 2 years later, doctors in Boston, Massachusetts, attempted the operation on a woman who had been attacked by a chimpanzee. Days later, doctors had to remove the hands. Dr. Bogdan Pomaha, surgeon at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital, he led the second attempt. The fact that they could pull it off is phenomenal, he said of the doctors who operated on DiMeo. DiMeo will have to take medications for the rest of his life to prevent his body from rejecting the transplants. He also will continue with treatment and exercises to help him gain sensation and movement in his new face and hands. In 2018, DiMeo fell asleep while driving, he said, after working overnight as a product tester for a drug company. His car hit the edge of the street and then a structure. It rolled over and caught on fire. Another driver who saw the accident pulled over to rescue DiMeo from the burning car. After the accident, doctors used drugs to keep him in a deep sleep called a coma. He had 20 surgeries and special operations on his skin to treat his extensive burns. His doctors realized, however, that usual surgeries could not help DiMeo regain use of his face, eyes, or hands. So, his medical team began preparing for the risky transplants in early 2019. But almost immediately, the NYU team dealt with difficulties, including finding a donor. Doctors estimated DeMayo only had a 6% chance of finding a donor whose hands and face would work for his immune system. Doctors also wanted to find someone of the same sex and skin color. During the search for a donor, the COVID-19 health crisis hit. Organ donations dropped sharply. During New York City's increase in virus cases, doctors in the transplant area in the hospital were asked to work with COVID-19 patients instead. In early August, the team finally identified a donor in Delaware. The 23-hour operation happened a few days later. Dr. Eduardo Rodriguez led the medical team of more than 140 people. He said that, so far, DeMayo has not shown any signs of rejecting his new face or hands. Since leaving the hospital in November, DeMayo has been working with rehabilitation specialists to relearn many physical movements. DeMayo, who lives with his parents, can now dress and feed himself. He can take part in some sports. He can also play with his dog, Buster. "You got a new chance at life," DeMayo said. "You really can't give up."
The Lunar New Year holiday is usually a busy time for flower farms in Hong Kong. The farms prepare to sell plum blossoms, orchids, and daffodils at flower markets during the cheerful season. But the coronavirus pandemic and restrictions on such markets this year has affected many farms. Farmers worry that they may be left with an oversupply of flowers. Lunar New Year fairs, known as flower markets in Cantonese, are usually held before the holidays. Thousands of flower sellers and goods dealers sell their products to the public. This year, the Hong Kong government will place restrictions on such markets. They will only be permitted to operate with half the usual number of people and must shorten their business hours. The policy concerns farm owners like Yang Shulung. He runs one of Hong Kong's largest orchid farms. He had grown over 30,000 pots of orchids in 10 greenhouses in Hong Kong's rural New Territories area to prepare for the Lunar New Year holiday. Young had first planned to have 16 selling spaces in flower markets. Now he is planning other ways to sell his supply of orchids, including selling them online or urging buyers to visit the farms directly. Lunar New Year traditionally brings an increase in sales for some businesses in Hong Kong. There is usually a big seasonal sale of goods such as holiday foods, gifts, and home decorations, which often include flowers. Flower farms like Young's usually make about 50% of their profits from the Lunar New Year season alone, says business expert Francis Lun. Pinky Chan is one of Young's customers who drove an hour to his farm to buy orchids. Chan thought it was still important to create a cheerful atmosphere during difficult times. "We Chinese people feel happier if our homes are filled with red and green during the Lunar New Year," Chan said. Because of the pandemic,
We are all not very happy. We are not able to meet with our families. So I hope buying a pot of flowers for my parents can make them feel a bit happier.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Hamiru, who is in Brazil. Hello, could you tell me the difference between a task and an assignment?
And how do we use them in our daily life?
Thank you. Dear Hamiru, as you may know, both task and assignment are nouns describing an activity that you must complete. A task is something you have to do. An assignment is usually a task that someone gives you to do. A task describes an activity that can be done in your daily life. But you can give a task to yourself, or someone else can give you a task to complete. Any activity you want to finish can become a task. Think about a day in your life and the responsibilities you have. What are the tasks you must do during your day? You can have one task or many tasks. For example,
my task today is to feed the cats before leaving for school.
Tasks are often connected to a bigger goal. Here is an example.
Although learning a computer programming language is a difficult task, I will do my best to study it for my future career.
An assignment means someone is giving you an activity or task to complete. For example, imagine your teacher says,
"Our test is on Friday, so your assignment tonight is to study everything we learned this past month."
Teachers give students assignments every day. But students need to know how to take a big assignment and separate it into smaller tasks. Students might understand this example.
My assignment is to read the whole book, but luckily, I only need to read 10 pages a day.
Both tasks and assignments are often related to time. For example, we make lists of tasks to better organize our time. For example,
by 12 p.m. today, I need to do the following tasks: take out the garbage, walk my dog, and go shopping.
Task and assignment are often used in work situations too.
If you ever work in a job,
the boss may say,
"Your assignment is to finish all three tasks before the end of the day."
Well, Hamiru, we hope this helps to answer your question. And to our listeners everywhere, what questions do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Armin Kasabian.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. We present the short story, "The Lady or the Tiger," by Frank R. Stockton. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
Long ago, in a very olden time, there lived a powerful king. Some of his ideas were progressive, but others caused people to suffer. One of the king's ideas was a public arena as an agent of poetic justice. Crime was punished, or innocence was decided, by the result of chance. When a person was accused of a crime, his future would be judged in the public arena. All the people would gather in this building. The king sat high up on his ceremonial chair. He gave a sign. A door under him opened. The accused person stepped out into the arena. Directly opposite the king were two doors. They were side by side, exactly alike. The person on trial had to walk directly to these doors and open one of them. He could open whichever door he pleased. If the accused man opened one door, out came a hungry tiger, the fiercest in the land. The tiger immediately jumped on him and tore him to pieces as punishment for his guilt. The case of the suspect was thus decided. Iron bells rang sadly. Great cries went up from the paid mourners. And the people, with heads hanging low and sad hearts, slowly made their way home. They mourned greatly that one so young and fair, or so old and respected, should have died this way. But if the accused opened the other door, there came forth from it a woman, chosen especially for the person. To this lady he was immediately married, in honor of his innocence. It was not a problem that he might already have a wife and family, or that he might have chosen to marry another woman. The king permitted nothing to interfere with his great method of punishment and reward. Another door opened under the king, and a clergyman, singers, dancers, and musicians joined the man and the lady. The marriage ceremony was quickly completed. Then the bells made cheerful noises. The people shouted happily, and the innocent man led the new wife to his home, following children who threw flowers on their path. This was the king's method of carrying out justice. Its fairness appeared perfect. The accused person could not know which door was hiding the lady. He opened either as he pleased, without knowing whether, in the next minute, he was to be killed or married. Sometimes the fierce animal came out of one door. Sometimes it came out of the other. This method was a popular one. When the people gathered together on one of the great trial days, they never knew whether they would see a bloody killing or a happy ending. So everyone was always interested. And the thinking part of the community would bring no charge of unfairness against this plan. Did not the accused person have the whole matter in his own hands? The king had a beautiful daughter who was like him in many ways. He loved her above all humanity. The princess secretly loved a young man who was the best-looking and bravest in the land. But he was a commoner, not part of an important family. One day, the king discovered the relationship between his daughter and the young man. The man was immediately put in prison. A day was set for his trial in the king's public arena. This, of course, was an especially important event. Never before had a common subject been brave enough to love the daughter of the king. The king knew that the young man would be punished, even if he opened the right door. and the king would take pleasure in watching the series of events, which would judge whether or not the man had done wrong in loving the princess. The day of the trial arrived. From far and near, the people gathered in the arena and outside its walls. The king and his advisors were in their places opposite the two doors. All was ready. The sign was given. The door under the king opened, and the lover of the princess entered the arena. Tall, beautiful, and fair, his appearance was met with a sound of approval and tension. Half the people had not known so perfect a young man lived among them. No wonder the princess loved him. What a terrible thing for him to be there. As the young man entered the public arena, he turned to bend to the king. But he did not at all think of the great ruler. The young man's eyes instead were fixed on the princess, who sat to the right of her father. From the day it was decided that the sentence of her lover should be decided in the arena, she had thought of nothing but this event. The princess had more power, influence, and force of character than anyone who had ever before been interested in such a case. She had done what no other person had done. She had possessed herself of the secret of the doors. She knew behind which door stood the tiger and behind which waited the lady. Gold and the power of a woman's will had brought the secret to the princess. She also knew who the lady was. The lady was one of the loveliest in the kingdom. Now and then, the princess had seen her looking at and talking to the young man. The princess hated the woman behind that silent door. She hated her with all the intensity of the blood passed to her through long lines of cruel ancestors. Her lover turned to look at the princess. His eye met hers as she sat there, paler and whiter than anyone in the large ocean of tense faces around her. He saw that she knew behind which door waited the tiger and behind which stood the lady. He had expected her to know it. The only hope for the young man was based on the success of the princess in discovering this mystery. When he looked at her, he saw that she had been successful, as he knew she would succeed. Then his quick and tense look asked the question, "Which?" It was as clear to her as if he shouted it from where he stood. There was not time to be lost. The princess raised her hand and made a short, quick movement toward the right. No one but her lover saw it. Every eye but his was fixed on the man in the arena. He turned, and with a firm and quick step, he walked across the empty space. Every heart stopped beating. Every breath was held. Every eye was fixed upon that man. He went to the door on the right and opened it. Now, the point of the story is this. Did the tiger come out of that door, or did the lady? The more we think about this question, the harder it is to answer. It involves a study of the human heart. Think of it not as if the decision of the question depended upon yourself, but as if it depended upon that hot-blooded princess, her soul at a white heat under the fires of sadness and jealousy. She had lost him, but who should have him? How often in her waking hours and in her dreams had she started in wild terror and covered her face with her hands? She thought of her lover opening the door on the other side of which waited the sharp teeth of the tiger. But how much oftener had she seen him open the other door? How she had ground her teeth and torn her hair when she had seen his happy face as he opened the door of the lady. How her soul had burned in pain when she had seen him run to meet that woman with her look of victory. When she had seen the two of them get married, and when she had seen them walk away together upon their path of flowers, followed by the happy shouts of the crowd, in which her one sad cry was lost. Would it not be better for him to die quickly and go to wait for her in that blessed place of the future? And yet, that tiger, those cries, that blood! Her decision had been shown quickly, but it had been made after days and nights of thought. She had known she would be asked, and she had decided what she would answer, and she had moved her hand to the right. The question of her decision is one not to be lightly considered, and it is not for me to set myself up as the one person able to answer it. And so I leave it with all of you. Which came out of the open door? The lady or the tiger?
You have heard The American Story, The Lady or the Tiger, by Frank R. Stockton. Your storyteller was Barbara Klein. This story was adapted into Special English by Shelley Gollist. It was produced by LaJuan Davis. Listen again next week for another American story in VOA Special English. I'm Bob Doty.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.